It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Shearn. We'll be joined by our co-host, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Auriemma, in our next segment. But first, we start as we have always started since we began this podcast in the last week of July when the Yankees, on a Wednesday, took over first place for the first time and never looked back. You want to blame somebody, non-Yankee fans? Blame the Off the Wall podcast, because ever since we've been doing this, the Yankees have been mowing through the competition, and they continue to do that through the ALDS and the ALCS now. I know a lot of fans out there think that this should have been a sweep because of, you know, the overmanaging by Joe Girardi in Game 3, but you know what? It's history. It's history. You got to move on. Yankees now, as we speak, as we sit here, Joe and I have a 3-1 series lead over the Angels. By the time you listen to this, the series may be over. But this is what you have to think about. Alex Rodriguez, as I told Mark Melusis on WFAN after Game 2, when he hit another game-tying home run, saved the Yankees' hide in that game, as he did in two games against the Twins in the previous series. You can't get on this guy anymore. You can't. In the 24 previous postseason games from 2004 through 2007, because we know the Yankees weren't in there in 2008. We don't really like to talk about that. But we know that A-Rod, in those 24 games, batted .245 with four homers, nine RBI, and he struck out 22 times. Awful. Reprehensible. You had every right to unload on this guy. Guess what? That right's gone. It's gone. In seven games this postseason, Alex Rodriguez is batting .407 with five homers. That's one more, by the way, in 17 less games than he had in those 24 previous. He has 11 RBI. That's two more in 17 less games than those 24 previously played. In those 24 games, he struck out 22 times. In these seven games, he struck out four times. But never in a big spot. In a big spot, when the Yankees needed a run, guess who came through? If the Yankees go on to the World Series and win their 27th World Championship, two players will immediately come to mind. Alex Rodriguez is one. And sure, you could bring in Derek Jeter. And Mark Teixeira's defense. But two players will instantaneously come to mind. Alex Rodriguez and CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia came into this postseason with an ERA just under 8. It was 7.92. Think about that. This is what Joe and I always say about things on paper. Crumble the paper up and throw it away. Because CeCe Sabathia, if you looked at his stats for the playoffs on paper, you would have cringed every time they gave him the ball. And I'll bring it up again. On Twitter, game one against the Twins in the ALDS, he gave up a leadoff double. The sky was falling. All my little chicken littles on Twitter. Relax. This guy has been unreal in the postseason. He is the first Yankee starter to win three postseason games before the World Series since Orlando El Duque Hernandez in 2000. Think about that. All the great pitchers that have come through here. Think about that. His ERA is not near 8. It's just over 1. It's 1.19. And it's no coincidence that in every game that he's pitched, the Yankees won easily. There was no edge of your seat, seventh inning tie. Are we going to win this game? The game was in the bag because of CeCe Sabathia. And now his career on 3 days rest, 4-2 with a 2.11 ERA. Not too shabby. So if the Yankees make it to the World Series, and they have a pretty damn good shot to do that, up 3-1 on the Angels. We all know what happened in 2004. This isn't 2004. Okay? AJ Burnett is not going to have any pressure on him in Game 5. Joey and I will talk about that later. But the two guys you have to focus in on so far in the year 2020, when you look back at the year 2009 with the Yankees in the postseason, and for years to come after that, you're going to think about Alex Rodriguez and CeCe Sabathia. We're also going to discuss this awful umpiring. I mean, Bud Selig should be coming down on the field, taking these guys Little Rascal style by the ear and dragging them off the damn field. It's ridiculous. These are playoff games. These calls have to be made right. Have to. Nick Swisher in the top of the fourth clearly gets picked off by Scott Kazmir. Clearly. He's called safe. He makes it to third. He tags up on Johnny Damon's fly ball to Torrey Hunter. Tags up legally, by the way. Tim McClelland, who's the crew chief, not even looking at Swisher, says after the game, I think in my heart, that Swisher left early. Well, are you using your heart or your eyes, Tim? You have to use those two little things above your nose called your eyes. All these guys. And to be a crew chief and to make these horrendous calls is awful. We're talking about the ALCS. We're not talking about a game in April. We're not talking about a game in May or June or July or August. We're talking about games in freaking October. Get them right. Gonna talk about that too, as well as the Giants and the Jets. Not a good week for New York football. Thank goodness for the New York Yankees. Joey and I are back right after this.
Go to yesnetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's yesnetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey everybody, it's the godfather of yesnetwork.com, Joe Auriemma. Look how they massacred my boy. I'm here with Chris Sheeran. Santino never had a shot.
You know, if he had Easy Pass, he'd still be alive
today. Hey-o!
Oh, boy. Anyway, welcome to the off-the-wall program here on yesnetwork.com. Joey, it's always nice to have the Godfather here.
Thank you very much. And let me tell you, this isn't the first time I've been called the Godfather. Actually, way back in the day, when I first started working here, Chris Loopy, who's a cameraman here, he's the jib operator here in the studio, called me the Michael Corleone of the Yes Network. Said, one day I'll be running this thing.
Well, that's neither here nor there. But Joe, I gave my viewpoints on the Yankees so far this season. I was able to vent. So why don't you take the floor and either piggyback on my stuff or give us some other points about the Yankees in the postseason.
I'm going to do a little bit of piggybacking and a little bit of my own stuff right now. One, I'll say that CeCe Sabathia has been masterful. Really, this is the ace that the Yankees have not had since the dynasty years. And even then, they never had a horse like CeCe Sabathia. I can just say one thing that the difference between CeCe Sabathia now and CeCe Sabathia when he first started the season with the Yankees is he actually has a changeup that is so devastating now. My God, it complements his fastball that Mike Socha actually said that changeup is not what we saw when we first saw CeCe Sabathia earlier this year. It is knee-buckling, devastating. It comes out of his hand looking like a fastball, and it just buckles the knees of any opponent's hitters.
It's a hell of an outpitch to have, that's for sure. And he used it a lot last night on 3 days rest.
The difference between CeCe Sabathia in previous postseasons, Chris, to me, is that he felt like he needed to be that overpowering pitcher that needed to throw 95 to 97 miles an hour to get guys out. Now he has become an ace. He has become a guy that knows that he doesn't need to throw 95 to 97, that he can mix up his pitches and become a pitcher. And that's what CeCe Sabathia has done, and that's what we've seen out of him, and that's why he's so good right now. And that's why he can go on 3 days rest, because he doesn't need to overpower guys. He can mix up pitches, which makes him a little more fresh each start. Give Joe Girardi a little bit of credit. I know everybody's killing him. Give him credit for pitching him on 5 days, 5 days, and 6 days rest, respectively, coming into the postseason to allow him to have a start on 3 days rest and be as dominant as he was.
Well, you bring up Girardi, so we might as well go there for a little bit before you continue. I know he got killed after game three, and he should have. I mean, we both sat there and on Twitter and talking to each other, where he overmanages the game. He did it in the game two against the Twins. He, you know, I don't know whether he thinks, I'm trying to get his rationale in my head, and the best case I could come up with is, and it's wrong, but I think it's wrong. That's just me. But I really think with the lineup he has that's coming up in the next inning, he can get away with matching up because he thinks a run is going to come quickly. He thinks he's going to get a home run, and all he has to do is run Mo out there, and the game's over. It just hasn't happened like that.
Right.
And Alex Rodriguez has bailed him out, not once, but twice.
And really, you hit it on the head, Chris. He, you know, it's funny. He's overmanaged, but he's won. So he's lucked out in some situations. But it really came back to bite him in game three. The David Robertson move into a Sevis. Robertson was pitching fine. I don't get sometimes where he went to his book and knew that Howie Kendrick was a fastball hitter, so he brought in a guy that threw off-speed stuff. But again, a Sevis threw a fastball, which Kendrick hit up the middle. So it's just like...
But, you know...
It's just like...
Having a... Listen.
Being, go by your gut.
Being, not only that, but being around baseball, if a guy could hit a fastball, he's going to hit a slower fastball, and he's going to hit a changeup. Don't tell me a major league hitter can't hit a changeup or slower stuff. Howie Kendrick has killed the Yankees so far in this season.
Unless you have CeCe Sabathia's changeup at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he has overmanaged. He's kind of gotten some breaks, and like you said, A-Rod's bailed him out. But bottom line is he's won the games. He's 6-1 in the postseason right now. And look, could it come back to bite him again where, you know, he doesn't change the way he manages? Yeah, it could come back to bite him. But right now, the Yankees are on a roll.
Everybody's talking about how Jorge Posada could have been the GOAT last night. A couple of base-running gaffes out of him. That blast by Robinson Cano. He doesn't score from second. And then he gets caught in the rundown between third and home. Goes off the bag. But I did see something.
Doesn't know there's two
and
outs,
and he didn't know there were two outs, too. That's a great point out of you. He ran off the field, and Torii Hunter could have scored easily. But
yes,
Alex Rodriguez, hello, sprints in from third, very heads up out of A-Rod, right. And he was at home just in case, and he held Hunter at third base. But here's my good of Jorge Posada. Now, last night, I don't know if you saw it. You had to. You probably watched the whole game. Nick Swisher has had an awful postseason.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the dugout. You could see it on his face. He's just not the normal Nick Swisher.
Right.
Jorge Posada, being the veteran guy he is, puts whiteout on his fingertips so CeCe Sabathia could see his fingers when he's flashing the signs, goes up to Nick Swisher and waves his fingers under his nose like smelling salts to maybe bring Swisher out of it.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that, you know, these veterans in the dugout, and I look, listen, I know what the Yankees spent, you know, on free agents, and but it's just nice to see that through all of that, they're still, it's like they're little kids. They're playing a game, and that's what Swisher has to come back to, and I think he'll wake up as well as Tex.
I agree, and you know, the one thing that everybody can say about Tex is that he might have saved a couple games just on his defense alone. I mean, can he pick it over there or what? Going to your point, though, with that these guys are just kids playing a game, Chris, you gotta like what you're saying when you see your ace after a game wrapped up, his left arm is wrapped up after pitching a heck of a game, and he's greeting his teammates as they go into the clubhouse. Fox had Chris Myers interview him after the game in front of the opposing clubhouse, and he was literally hugging guys, shaking their hand. They just were having fun, and he was the one thanking them. So that's the type of team that the Yankees have here.
Listen, it hasn't been a pristine postseason for the Yankees. They've made some mistakes. They've made some errors. It hasn't been perfect. But you got to look past all the negativity. And, you know, I could say that I've been, you know, the lighthouse of hope and I've been joking about it, but it's the truth. You have to have faith in this team. If they're down 3-1 in the seventh inning, they've proven that the game is never over. This team is never out of it. They pick each other up. They get on base when they need to. They really weren't getting a big hit in the clutch against the Angels in the beginning, but last night, I mean, the floodgates opened. And as Joe said, it's not just, you know, if the top of the lineup faltered, the bottom of the lineup was there. Melky Cabrera hasn't really done anything. He drove in 4 runs last night.
That's what I'm saying.
And all it takes, as you said, is that push bunt that got by Scott Kazmir, and Morales couldn't make a play.
And sometimes that's all it takes to build confidence in a player and to get them going. And who's had less than perfect a postseason? You mentioned the umpires. Oh, my God. They just have been atrocious this postseason. Now, I know you brought up the Tim McClellan, Nick Swisher with his foot on his bag, you know, the foot on the bag, tagging up. That's the one call that I'm going to forgive McClellan on. And I'll tell you why, Chris. Because I understand that that's a play that happens all the time and umpires need to get that call right. But how do you expect an umpire with two eyes to look at both the outfielder?
But Joe, he doesn't have to look at the outfielder because he's got the outfielder down the left field line. That's what they're there for. They're there to help. McClellan should be watching. Well, no, you're right. I'm stupid.
That's what I'm saying. How could he needs to look at both the runner on third base and the outfielder? Now, I know this has been, umpires have been doing it for years, but if you want to get this call right in the postseason, maybe they should start thinking about, not in the regular season, but maybe they should start thinking about instant replay in a situation like that, because there is going to be human error there. McClellan needed to look at both Torii Hunter and Nick Swisher at the same time.
He does have help, though. I mean, he has umpires all over the place. Only that, but he said in the post-game show, this is where I had, in the post-game interviews, this is where I have a problem with it. He said, in my heart, I feel like Swisher left. It can't be in your heart. You have to see it. You can't just guess. Having said that, though, the baseball gods, as I Twittered right after it happened, they evened it out. Swisher was out at second. He shouldn't have even been on third, and the fly ball by Damon would have been the third out anyway.
Right.
But that doesn't excuse
No.
The awfulness that happened after that.
And the double tag out, McClellan not looking at Cano, that's an awful play. But here's my point. Where the heck were Girardi and Social last night? Where were they?
I don't know.
How did they not come out to argue some of these calls?
I think they were thinking the same thing I was. I think Girardi was saying, because everybody in that stadium saw those replays, and you heard the groans after Swisher was tagged out on the pickoff attempt by Kazmir. They played that. I think Fox, as they were showing the replays on TV, that same feed was being played back on the scoreboard.
Which actually they're not allowed to do. But
that's what I think they were doing. And you heard groan after groan after groan. And they should have been groaning.
Absolutely.
It was an awful call. Swisher was out by at least a foot. You know, you can't let the umpires in situations like that where the play is close, I know you want these baseball traditionalists. I can't do that. You know, it's been like that forever. I don't want to hear that.
They're just lucky that this game was out of hand. It wasn't a 4-3 game.
It wasn't decided by those plays.
But a World Series could be determined by one of these clowns.
Joe, this is scary.
A championship could be determined. Just think about this. If the Yankees and Phillies, I'm just saying right now, those are the two teams that have 3-1 leads. If they are in a series where it's 3-3, Game 7, Yankee Stadium, and the score is, 1-1 in the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees have a tag-up play like that, and they take away the game-winning run on a sac fly, and the Phillies come back and win the World Series because of that play, that's pathetic.
I know.
That's pathetic.
All right, Joe, when we come back, I know we could talk more about the umpires, but we'll be here all day. When we come back, a little NFL football, the Giants and Jets, not a good weekend last week for both New York teams. Like I said earlier, thank goodness for the New York Yankees. We're back with more of the Off the Wall podcast right here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Sheeran, joined along with my co-host, of course, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Auremia.
Joe Auremia.
Or that, as John Sterling pronounces it. Our good buddy.
He's great.
He is a great guy. We're going to talk a little New York football now. The Giants and Jets, both with... I know the Jets game was close, but I'll call it a horrific weekend for both teams.
Oh,
because,
boy.
The Giants go down to New Orleans, and it's exactly what I said. You can't get into a field goal fight with a good team. You can't. You know, the Saints came out... You blinked your eyes twice, and the score was 14-0.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to take into account that it's the Saints' bye week.
They had a couple weeks to prepare.
Fine. You could use that as an excuse. But they basically picked the Giants up and wiped the turf with them. It was just awful to watch if you were a Giant fan. Another thing we have to talk about, with Michael Boley out of that lineup, the defense is just a different team. His coverage skills, really, if he's not in the lineup, especially against a team that
Pierce
has so
can't
many
cover,
weapons.
Can't no, cover
he
anybody
can't.
Anymore.
He's a great, listen, he's a great quarterback on the field, but he can't cover anybody to save his life. Let's be honest.
And the good thing about Boley and Canty, who are both out for this game, is Canty and Boley can not only cover, but they can put pressure, well, not Canty as much, but they can put more pressure on the quarterback, which is something that was just missing in this game.
Drew Brees, I think he was sacked once in this game. So
yeah.
The Giants absolutely get, overhand righted right in the chops, 48-27. Seven touchdowns, seven different Saints scored, by the way. Drew Brees didn't have a touchdown pass the previous 2 weeks.
Guy's amazing. 23 for 30. Almost 400 yards, four touchdowns, and just a perfect game.
Unbelievable for him.
Yeah.
Talk about David Cone, talk about David Wells. That was a perfect game for Brees. It was just unbelievable. It was opened up a can of you-know-what on the Giants on Sunday. But you know what? Giants are 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
They lick their wounds. They come home Sunday night. This Sunday night, they have the Arizona Cardinals. It's not the end of the world for the Giants.
What did Bill Parcells always used to say? It only counts for one loss. They might have scored 48 points. It only counts for one loss.
That's the way you have to look at it. Yeah, it was a bad loss, but it wasn't a playoff loss.
Right.
You pick yourself up. You move on. You go to the next week. And the next week, you have Kurt Warner coming into Giants Stadium with the Cardinals, who are turning their season around and starting to play well. But you kind of tend to like your chances if you're the Giants against Kurt Warner with the pressure the Giants could apply on the happy-footed quarterback.
Fumbling, bumbling quarterback.
You look at the NFC East now. The Giants are 2 games ahead of the Eagles and 2 games ahead of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So still in the NFC East, the Giants are looking good. So Giant fans, relax.
Yes.
I know you're upset that you got drilled down in New Orleans. Relax. Because if you were a Jet fan,
oh, awful.
As my good friend who works here, Ernest Gentile, told me, I'm so happy my Jets are back.
It's the SOJs, baby. Same old Jets. But you got to stick with the Sanchez.
Oh, yeah, you can't pull him. Rex Ryan said he thought about pulling him, but he said he had confidence in him. And I don't know if you want to do that to a kid. He's your franchise quarterback. He's the guy you're going with. He's the guy that had you 3-0. Why are you going to take him out in a game like that? He could come back. He can get you in field goal position to win the game. You don't want to destroy his confidence.
But that was the problem, Chris. It's like, first of all, they ran for 300 yards. What team runs for 300 yards?
Thomas Jones set a franchise record for rushing.
And Leon Johnson didn't have a bad day himself.
Washington.
Wow. What did I just say? Leon Johnson. Yeah. And Leon Washington didn't have a bad day himself. Look, what team, you know, like I said, runs for 300 yards and loses a game? And it seems like in that overtime period and late in the game, they didn't have confidence in Mark Sanchez because they just kept running the ball. It was run, run, pass, run, run, pass. I felt like they didn't have confidence in Mark Sanchez.
Well, regardless, I mean, we talked about this from preseason on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe had the best line. I can't really remember it. The future is now for the Giants, and the future is bright for the Jets.
Right.
Now listen, 3-0 start got everybody pumped up, amped up, and it should have. You should have been happy. You beat the Patriots for the first time at home since like 2000. That was a huge win for this team. Sanchez did everything he needed to do to win the ball game. The defense was playing well. Now Chris Jenkins is lost for the season.
They lost the battle and the war. Yeah.
You've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah.
I think it's time to start, you know, taking a step back, Jet fans.
That is a loss where if the Jets are actually in contention at the end of the year,
that's going to come back to bite.
I don't think they're going to be at this point. I think they're going to be 8-8, 9-7, and somewhere in that range. But again, Chris Jenkins is a difference maker on that defensive
absolutely.
Line. I mean, that could just swing the whole thing the other way now for the Jets. So, you just like you said, you got to stick with the Sanchez. You got to stick with your quarterback at this point. Give him more confidence and just build for next year.
Yeah, if you're Jet fans, just keep, you know.
I'm not calling the season done, but I'm just saying, build for the future.
Yeah, keep your head up. You know, keep rooting for this kid. Don't boo him. Don't, you know. I know it's New York. It's you have every right to boo anybody you want to boo. I mean, Mariano Rivera got booed at Yankee Stadium. But talking about a kid, talking about a rookie. I know we had you 3-0. I know you beat the Patriots. That defense was a different defense that beat the Patriots.
Yeah. Now, speaking of taking a step back, our predictions.
Oh, you want to do that?
Okay. I'm just saying.
You want to?
We were tied from week two when we started the predictions.
Oriyama, who's 1-2 this week, is going to talk smack.
Well, I was 1-2, but you were 0-3.
Yeah, and if a field goal doesn't get pushed to the right, I'm 1-2 as well.
I'm just saying, I'm now 9-6. You are 8-7.
Okay, I was 0-3. You were 1-2.
Talking a little smack.
That's fine.
That's all I'm saying. All
right, so this week, let's go back to the Giants. As I said, the Giants have the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday night at Giants Stadium. This isn't even a debate in my head. I'm taking the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants as well. I think they're going to bounce back and have a big game.
They're going to have a big game. They're at home. You know, they lick their wounds from New Orleans. They come out. I think the defense has a tremendously big game against Kurt Warner. I know they have weapons. I know Fitzgerald. I know Bolden. I just think the Giants defense is going to bounce back. As far as the Jets go, here's where, you know, Chip Carey will be committed amongst Jet fans if they lose this week. The Oakland Raiders are coming off a big win over the Eagles. Now, I think because of that win over Philly, Jet fans are a little nervous.
The
Jets couldn't win on the West Coast to save their lives under Eric Mangini.
Mm-hmm.
They went out to Oakland. They got destroyed by the Raiders.
Yeah.
So this week, with Jet fans' psyches, is a big week. Because if they go out and spit the bit once again against the Raiders out in Oakland, I'm telling you right now, Dr. Melfi is going to have a long line outside her door.
I love it. Well, I'll say this, Chris.
I'm taking the Jets, by the way.
You're taking the Jets.
Taking the Jets.
For all the Jet fans that were at 3-2, look, Mark Sanchez loses a big game. Then in Miami, the defense loses a big game, but you're still 3-2 at this point. Then you look at the schedule and you go, Well, we've got Buffalo and Oakland the next 2 weeks. This will still keep us in contention at 5-2. They were already counting Buffalo and Oakland as a win. They did not win against Buffalo at home in what I think is the worst loss of the season. I think Chris Jenkins being lost for the season is a huge loss. I'm taking the Raiders.
Okay, Joey's taking the Raiders.
I am going to take the Raiders, and they will be the Jets will be 3-4. And I would have never done this a week ago after the way I saw that they played the Giants. But the way they beat the Eagles and the way the Jets have a hard time going to the West Coast, the Raiders play well at home. They played well in the opening night against San Diego. It was a good game. I just think the Raiders kind of get up.
Jamarcus Russell's awful, though.
He's terrible. If this game goes anywhere...
You just got to stack 9 in the box, and if he beats you, God bless him.
I think this game's going to be like 13-9 or 12-9 or something like that.
Okay. So one of those old school field goal Jet games.
Yeah. Yeah. And now let's pick your other game.
All right. My other game is definitely Minnesota against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Like we always say, we like to take games that, you know, aren't like layups. We like to take games that have a little bit of juice in them. And we have to actually use our thinking caps to pick these games. 2 weeks ago when I took the Jaguars over the Seahawks, I took my thinking cap and I flushed it down the toilet because the Jags, as we all know, lost 41-0 in Seattle.
Yes.
This week, though, Pittsburgh and Minnesota, the Steelers at home taking on the undefeated Vikings. And you know what? I think this is the week that Brett Favre feels his age in the cold of Pittsburgh. I really think that the perfect record for the Vikings goes out the window. The Steelers right now are tied with the Bengals at 4-2 in the AFC North. The Bengals are playing the Bears. I think the Bears are going to come up with a big game against the Bengals and move to 4-2. And I think the Steelers move into first place all by their lonesomes in the AFC North when they beat the Vikings and end their 6-0 run to start the season. We got to say it again, though. Brett Favre, never in his career was 5-0, never in his career 6-0, and look at what he's doing with this team.
Yeah.
But I really feel he's not going to be in the comforts of that Metrodome. He's going to feel some
cold
weather this week.
Yeah.
And the guy's 40 years old. If he comes out and he destroys the Steelers' defense, you're going to know Brett Favre is back. He's going to be unbelievable. If they move to 7-0 and they beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh when there's weather around, you know what? All bets are off with Brett Favre. But I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he feels his age. I think that coldness gets to his shoulder. And I think the Steelers win.
And his Wrangler jeans.
Yeah, and those two. By the way, if you have a chance, I don't know if it's on YouTube, but Michelle Beadle, our former employee here at Yes, did a parody commercial.
Yeah.
With those jeans for her ESPN show.
Yeah. It's very funny.
If you could find it somewhere online, go get it. Watch it because it's vintage Beetle.
I was going to talk about the Bears Bengals, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to ride the hot hand that brought me here this week to first place. I'm going to take those dirty birds down in Big D.
Okay.
I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to go down to Big D and ruin Jerry Jones' little playhouse once again. How about those Cowboys,
oh,
huh?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what happens when Tony Gonzalez has 2 touchdowns and Matt Ryan is lighting up your defense.
All right. So just to recap, I, as Joey so eloquently hammered home, was 0-3 last week, so I dropped
awful week.
8-7. Easy. And Joe was 1-2.
Gotta win.
And moves up to 9-6. So the lead is 1 for Oriyama in our football picks.
Could be really different this week.
This week, I take Giants, Jets, Steelers. Joey takes Giants, Oakland, Falcons. Joey trying to ride the Falcons off into the sunset. And for Joe Oriyama, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, I am Chris Sheeran. As always, we thank you for coming here and listening to the Off the Wall podcast. Again, you can call in. You could email the podcast. It's real easy. Off the Wall, all one word, offthewall@YesNetwork.com. Or you can call in 646-487-3668. You can leave a comment. That doesn't have to be for air. You can leave a comment and we'll get you on the podcast. You could become part of the podcast at 646-487-3668. Or if you don't want your voice to be heard, you can leave us an email. Once again, the email address is offthewall@yesnetwork.com. Once again, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next week for another Off the Wall podcast, hopefully previewing the Fall Classic.